Well, thank you, Steve and worship team, once again, for leading us in a time of worship. As Steve said, this is our testimony service today, which is it's a very unique service in which you're not going to hear a normal sermon, but you will hear how God is working in different people's lives in our congregation. I should just say up front, we had some exciting things happen this past week, particularly last night, which has caused me to lose sleep last night. And so I come today a little bit groggy, so I'm just going to apologize in advance. If I forget your name, if I forget where we are in the service, if I'm a bit groggy or grumpy, just have mercy on me, please. But anyways, no, I'm really excited about today, where we get to hear how God has been at work in different people's lives. It's a testimony service, and we have a handful of people that are scheduled to come up and share what God has been doing in their life. We have a wide variety of people who are sharing. Some people are going to be sharing about health challenges they've been going through and how God has been with them. One's going to share a testimony of how God has used them to help lead someone to Christ. We're going to hear how some people went on a missions trip or ministry trip of some kind, what God is teaching them in children's ministry or even in their personal lives, and perhaps one who might share about loss in their life. And so a wide variety of things. And, you know, one of the reasons we like to hear testimonies, there's a few important reasons why we do that. And one is because you want to see God at work in our lives. Sometimes it's hard to see, or sometimes it's hard to remember at times, that God is actually present in our lives and present in other people's lives around us. And sometimes we just need to pause and reflect on that fact. And so that's one reason. Another reason is to encourage others and to build others up. Yeah, as we hear testimonies, hopefully it'll be an encouragement to you, and it'll build you up in your walk with the Lord. And at other times, testimonies can also help us connect with each other's joys and challenges. As we hear what other people are going through, we might open up our hearts and our minds and realize, you know what, maybe we're struggling with the same kind of thing. And maybe whatever that person shared can help us with what we're going through. So we have about 9-ish scheduled testimonies. Some have dropped out, some have been added last minute, but we'll kind of keep on track there. And if we get to the point after the scheduled testimonies, if we still have time to do a bit of an open mic, I'll pass the mic around to those who might be willing to share. And if we have the time for that, I just want to encourage you to number one, make sure, well, ideally, if you're going to share a testimony, that it's something that God has done in your life this past calendar year, not something that was 5-10 years ago. So something that's recent, that you experienced God's presence in your life or God at work in your life. And I also want to remind you, too, sometimes when we pass the mic around, some of us love the mic more than others. And just want to encourage you to share the mic. And so just want to encourage you to keep your testimony brief and to the point, and keep it God focused, and that would be great. So let's start with a few scheduled ones. I'm changing the order on the fly here. I'm going to start with Carol Salmon, if you are willing, followed by Gladys Wolf, followed by Gary, if that works. Are you still good? Awesome. I see some head nods. That's awesome. So Carol, you can come up first, or I can come to you, whichever you prefer. I'll come to you. You can sit if you like. That's fine.
I'm going to read it because I hate to ramble.
You want me to hold it, or do you want to hold it?
Yeah, I think I can hold it. Okay. Pastor Ryan asked me to share with you the presence of God through 3 operations in March. Stage 4 colon cancer, which I'm still dealing with. How can we explain the presence of God? That's a toughie. It really isn't a thought or a feeling even, because it's from God and God is spirit. There's a deep joy inside of me that, like Philippians 4:7 says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, no thoughts, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:7 is the outcome from obeying Philippians 4:6 and taking God at his word. 1, be anxious for nothing. And 2, by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And 3, And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:7. Let me back up 45 years, which I will not fill in, and I received the Holy Spirit when I received Jesus' salvation and love. You can see this was not a new experience for me, for I have been walking and talking with God for 45 years. I don't even think I prayed Philippians 4, 6, and 7. It just is part of my belief in why God is my help in all things. Again, I say it's a supernatural peace. I don't drum it up and I don't try and get it somehow. He just gives it to me because he promises to. And I take him at his word and I obey him by trying not to be anxious about anything. Yeah. Again, I say it's supernatural. It's God's care of his children like a good father. This is a hard journey. No, it's not physically easy. It's hard. But Jesus also said in John 16:33, you will have tribulation in this world. But cheer up. I've overcome the world. Take him at his word.
Thank you so much, Carol. I'm putting Carol and Gladys together because they both have been going through some health issues, and might be neat to hear them both at the same time.
Oh, dear. My story is life with a brain aneurysm. It started July 9, 2006. When I had my first aneurysm blowout. I had just sung "The King is Coming" and at the Clearbrook MB Church that evening. And I was taken to Vancouver General Hospital where Dr. Redicup did the coiling method to correct the bleeding. And then I was fine for 10 years. Praise the Lord. I claim the verse in Psalm 116, verse 8. I know the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for he is right beside me. On January 15, 2016, that's 10 years, right? When Dan was having the graveside service for my sister-in-law, I all of a sudden had a bad headache, and I knew that this was something that hit me. It was another aneurysm, and I was taken to the Royal Columbia Hospital this time, and Dr. Heron took care of me. The aneurysm burst again in the same place in my head, and they put more platinum in my head. February 27. 2017, I had an MRI, and it showed I needed some repairs before it would burst again. On May the 18th, I had that work done, and Dr. Heron said, I want to see you every 6 months to make sure everything is okay. So December 16, 2017, I had another MRI, and Dr. Heron said that I needed another repair. This happened in February 2018. And after it was done, he told me that there was a little bubble that he couldn't get a hold of. And so he didn't want to go any further because it could cause a clot. So he inserted a stent. And he just said, I'll see you in 6 months. And you are my maintenance patient. Well, after every intervention, I had some short-term memory loss and an ability to do things that I always did around the house and every day. Thank God for Daniel. He has been by my side for 2.5 years. I'm just about taking care of me. This last October, I had another MRI, and it showed that the aneurysm was stable. That was a great answer to prayer, because I hated to go in and have another working on me. But while we were waiting, the doctors after the doctor's report, I had a strong pain of 6 seconds in my head, and I thought, well, here comes another big one. But it stopped. Praise the Lord. It was just, thank Him for that. What is God trying to teach me or anyone else through all this? Just to trust Him one day at a time. That's all any of us has. One day at a time, for sure. No matter what God takes me through. Psalm 139, verse 10 says, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. Thank you for your prayers, and I trust that you'll keep praying for me so I can be with you for a while yet.
Thanks, Gladys and Carol. That's relevant stuff, because, you know, at some point in each and every one of our lives, we're all going to experience some health issues, some health challenges, and we need to make sure our heart is right before the Lord while we go through those things. And it's encouraging to hear how you're trusting and waiting on the Lord in Him during your trial. Gary, you're next.
Thanks, Ryan. I want to share with you two prayers that were answered. Many prayers have been answered in our small group, but our small group has been praying a lot, and we have started to keep a journal so that we don't forget to thank the Lord for the prayers that He answers. And I just want to share two of them with you. The prayer that we had in our small group was with my wife and I for many years, and then with our small group when praying for Kathy's brother, salvation, and for his health. His life was riddled with alcohol and drugs. The answer came this way. Last year, our youngest son announced his plans of getting married November 2nd, 2018. 1 week prior to the wedding, Kathy has pains in her abdomen and goes to the hospital. They took x-rays, and the pains got worse. So we went to emergency again, and 12 hours later, she was on the operating table having her appendix removed, 4 days before the wedding. Normally, you would be home 2 days after an operation like that, but Kathy's appendix had burst, and therefore she had to stay in the hospital for a week. Kathy was able to get a day pass so she could attend the wedding ceremony, but not able to celebrate with us after that evening. Because Kathy was absent from the party, I spent my time with her unsaved brother, and that we've been praying for him. After an hour of discussing my testimony with him, the Lord prompted me to ask if he would consider accepting the Lord as his Savior. He said yes, and we prayed the sinner's prayer together. Praise the Lord. Just talked to him last weekend, and his health is improving as well. Praise God. The second prayer we had was in our small group as well, and it was answered quickly. Tony Richardson has been looking for helpers in his ministry. So the small group prayed that Saturday prior to Sunday service. And the next Sunday service, two people came forward and offered their service to Tony. Praise the Lord. So what have I learned from this? I believe when we go home to heaven and we understand the power of prayer, that we'll be ashamed that we didn't pray more, because how He moves through His servants' prayers. Praise God.
Thank you so much, Gary. And even just purposely sharing that, just putting you guys in the third spot. I was trying to encourage us and show us how, you know, God even works through in incredible, miraculous ways when we are sick, and he works through odd circumstances. Maybe I shouldn't call it odd, but intentional circumstances that God puts together to lead us to doing incredible things, like leading someone to Christ. So God bless you guys, and thanks for sharing. Okay, we're going to have Helen and Addie share next. They both went on some kind of a trip to visit some either missions trip or ministry trip, whatever you want to call it, to visit others. So where is Helen Mobeck? She typically sits back here. So we'll go to Helen first, and Addie, you'll be next then. In theory, should be. Maybe I'll just cue Nathan. Oh, there you go.
Oh, what you see there is a field of plantain in Haiti, in rural Haiti, where my son-in-law, daughter, and granddaughter have been since September. They're coming back in January. So in February of this year, I went to Haiti to be with my daughter, her husband, and my granddaughter. Part of each year, my children are ministering to people in the area where they live, which is my son-in-law's hometown, about a 3.5-hour drive from Port-au-Prince. They minister to people spiritually, educationally, and agriculturally. My son-in-law has finished his bachelor's degree here in Abbotsford and majored in drip irrigation projects. So he's training a lot of other people, and they're growing crops and taking them to market. While I was there with a friend from Abbotsford, we all went to church. There was very lively singing. As my friend and I listened, we realized that the congregation was singing a hymn that we had sung decades before. Of course, the people were singing in Creole. When my friend and I realized we knew the hymn, we heartily sang the chorus in English. We couldn't remember the verses, but the first stanza actually is, "There is a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar, for the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there." And the chorus, many of you would know. "In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore." It was very moving to sing with a whole group that were, they were all black people except for a few of us from Canada. And of course, they sang in Creole and we sang in English, but what a fellowship. So even though the people are poor and most of them live in small huts with dirt floors and no electricity, no running water, they are able to grow small amounts of beans and rice, which are their staple food. On the Sunday we were there, the Christians were expressing their thanks to God for a good crop. Although we heard voodoo drums every night, we had enjoyed the warmth of Christian fellowship in a humble Haitian church. I was reminded of the verse in Revelation 7:9. "After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.' May each one of us be faithful in our Christian testimony to everyone around us."
Thanks, Helen.
Hi, I'm Addie. In November, I went with a team to Ndola in Zambia with the Seeds of Hope organization. They have an orphanage there for children with HIV. Sorry, thank you. We were able to do many things while we were there. We did a bunch of tutoring. We set up for Christmas. They have Christmas in November. A charcoal bike ministry, the little nephews, widows ministry. We fed some street children as well. If you want more information, you can ask me. I have a short time limit, apparently. One day we visited another orphanage in Marsala. That's in the city of Ndola. The grade 11 children. Sorry. From Grace, go every Tuesday afternoon. This orphanage has mainly children with special needs like cerebral palsy, encephalitis, and brain injuries. The teenagers from Grace take the children out in the wheelchairs to carry them outside to get some fresh air and sing some songs before they leave. This
orphanage is also supported by another church. My mother had warned me that this is not the same kind of orphanage like the one at Grace where we were staying. I thought I was prepared, but I was not. Sorry. At Grace, they have one dead mother for two special needs children. At this orphanage, there's one dead mother to 30 children. You can imagine what the care looked like. When I started writing this, I was going to share what I saw, how angry I was, and how appalled I was at what I had witnessed. But this story is about how God uses the children from Grace to give love to others. That day at the orphanage, it was just about me. I was so blinded by what I could not fix that I didn't see what I should have been doing. And that child I had, I'm sure, felt my anger. I completely forgot to ask for God's help to do what I should have been doing. As Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works." Upon reflection, I saw how God works through those teenagers to give those children love. The children were smiling, and you could see the joy that they had when they saw us. They had some of the children's laughing that little girl Nick had taken outside, kept touching his hands, and I realized that just that small bit of stimulation was so much more than they would get if they were not in this orphanage. Tammy, one of our team members, stated that night during our devotions that she was grateful to God that the children were there instead of on the streets where they would have suffered so much more. Most team members will not go back to that orphanage in Marcellus a second time. But if God has plans for me to go back to Zambia, I will definitely go back, and I will pray that God uses me to give those children what they need. Someone just to hold them, love them, and just be joyful. I have learned that I need God. I can't do everything by myself, and I find myself now asking more frequently for God's help and wisdom. For nothing will be impossible with God. Luke 1:37.
Thanks, Addie. Hey, you're making a lot of people in the room tear up as well with you. So, thanks, Addie. You know, we're a church that's a very missions-minded church, and we, as a church, we support all sorts of missionaries and partners all over the world. And not only that, but we have a handful of people that will go and visit some of our missionaries and go on various missions trips throughout the year. It's hard to keep track of, and it's a good thing. we had Nick that went with Nick is Addie's son, and Nick went as well. And he might share on another day some of the things that God taught him during that trip. And thank you, Helen, for your trip to Haiti as well. Okay, we're going to continue with Grace, and then Sherry with the children. So Grace Enns is going to share what God has been teaching her and. Something she's been learning. Do you want to come up front? Do you want to stay here? It's up to you. Okay.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Last summer, I happened to borrow a book, The Grand Weaver, written by Ravi Zacharias, explaining how God shapes us through the events of our lives. Our life is not just a deck of cards dealt with a magician's pack toward a certain fixed end. Ravi Zacharias, having grown up in India, explained the picture of the thread colors of a sari. The father would gather some threads in his hand, then nod, and the son would move the shuttle from one side to the other, often feeling bored because his back would ache and often wished for some other calling in life, something more fulfilling. But the whole time, the design remained in the mind of the father as he held the threads. The Grand Weaver has a design in mind for us, a design that will adorn us as he uses our lives to fashion us for his purpose, using all the threads within his reach. Every thread matters and has a specific purpose. As a little six-year-old girl, I remember my mom's uncle coming along and he's asking me, "Gracie, what are you going to be when you grow up?" I replied, "I'm going to be a teacher." As a teenager, I thought I was going to be a missionary. But after some years of teaching, I got invited to teach at Valley Christian School in Mission. That became my mission field. Looking back, I can see the dark threads of political issues and discouragements that happen in a school, but brighter threads of teaching Bible lessons each day, leading children and parents to the Lord. In fact, I heard, wasn't at a baptismal service, but I heard from somebody else that one of my former students in baptizing was saying that Mrs. Ann's had led her to the Lord. And I had the opportunity to minister to families. And this was like way back in Mission, back there by Raleigh Lake, all over the place. I was in homes everywhere for 20 years. Our theme this year for our ladies' ministry is the Master Weaver. We have handed out 80-plus bookmarks with a poem, The Weaver, on it. Hopefully, many of you have received this one and have read the poem, The Weaver. Some of the gals in our church are sharing their life stories, explaining the threads of their lives. In December, we shared the Christmas story of Jesus Christ's genealogy of 42 generations, including 4 Gentile women. Although Tamar was one of the 4, but she was still an Israelite. But then there was Rahab, the prostitute, and Ruth, the Moabite, and Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon. The lineage of grace. God pulls every thread of our existence into a magnificent work of art. Every thread matters and has a specific purpose. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Well, actually, Carol taught us all that stuff. That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Thank you so much, Grace. Sure. Yeah, sure. Mommy, I'll grab some extra mics for you. Perfect.
My name's Sherry. I'm the children's ministry director here at the church, and I'll invite Stefan and Jalen and Rebecca to come up here and join me. We'll be on the stage just so you can see the kids here. So they're going to, we wanted the kids involved today, and so they're going to share a little bit. They're going to help us share what we've been learning in Romans, okay? So we've been, as a congregation, we've been going through the book of Romans, and so we've been doing this with the kids as well, which has been a fun journey. So these guys are going to help share what we've been learning in the book of Romans, and then they're going to share a story that they have of what God's doing in their lives. Okay, so first off, are you guys ready? Yeah? Okay, so who wrote the book of Romans?
Paul.
Very good. Okay, and what is the book of Romans, Jalen?
A letter to the Romans.
Okay, and had Paul ever met the Romans?
No.
Why was he so excited to go see them?
Because he heard of their faith.
Because he heard of their faith. Okay, now how did he hear of their faith? Were they like, just go for it.
Because it spread like a wildfire.
Spread like a wildfire. Who was spreading it like a wildfire?
God.
That's right. Jesus was spreading like a wildfire. We talked about in children's church, like a contagious cold. Yeah. Jesus is a contagious cold. He spreads. It's awesome. So he was spreading out. It was very exciting. Okay. So Paul wanted to go there and he wanted to do a specific kind of encouragement. What was the kind of encouragement that he wanted to do?
To encourage their faith.
That is correct. Wanted to encourage their faith. That's very good. Okay. So then he talked about, he's going to share the whole gospel, right? So he started with this. So true or false, This was kind of a fun one that he talked about. True or false? There's a group of people in the world. Actually, we'll start with the congregation. Let's see if they're as smart as you, okay? Hold on. True or false? There's a group of people in the world who don't know that God exists. Not, catch it, not that they don't have a Bible, okay? But don't know that God exists. Oh, very good. What is it?
False.
That is correct, because Paul says God is revealed. Everything that can be known of God is revealed in creation. Okay? He is revealing himself, and he is made known, and people know that God exists, even though they don't have a Bible. Okay? So if people can't hear God, is it because God's not speaking very well?
No, it's because they're suppressing him.
Nice. Suppressing him. And Stefan, show us or tell us what suppressing means.
Pushing him down.
Pushing him down. Squishing God down. They don't want to hear. They're ignoring God. Okay, so Jalen, God's a gentleman. So what happens when we suppress God and say, don't bug me. Just not listening. What does he do?
He backs off.
He backs off and he leaves us. And if he leaves us alone with ourselves, what are we left with?
Selfishness.
That's right.
And flesh.
The flesh. And what does the flesh do?
Makes us sin.
It's sin. That's where sin comes from. And all kinds of terrible sin happens, okay? And so if God backs off and we're left with our flesh, that's where the sin comes out. And when the sin comes out, we know we've got a problem, right? So Stefan, what does God do with our flesh?
He cuts it away.
He cuts it off. He cuts the flesh out of our hearts. And what's the Bible's word for that?
Spiritual circumcision.
Circumcision. That's correct. He circumcises the flesh out of our hearts. Now, the Romans, did they have the law? They didn't have the law, okay? But they were living as though they had the law. They were living right. How was that possible?
God was living through them.
That's right. Jesus was living through them. So by faith in Jesus, they were trusting in him. He was living perfectly through them. And so they lived as though they had the law because they had faith in Jesus. It was incredible. And that's as far as we've gotten Romans. Now, you guys have a story to encourage our faith. Right? You've got a cool story of something God's doing in your lives. Share that with us.
Yeah, we definitely do. So I guess the story starts probably when we moved to Abbotsford. We moved here, I think it was, how long?
August 2007. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So where we moved, we are very, very close to Abbotsford Christian School. And so when we moved there, we thought we really, really would love our kids to go there. And so, I guess from there, we were praying about financially being able to afford it, and what did God do that was miraculous?
Leave me hanging here. No, we talked. Yeah, so we moved in the house. It's like a block away from the middle high school, Abbey Christian. And we always thought it would be nice for our kids to go there. But obviously, it cost something. And at the time, my job just wasn't paying enough for us to be able to afford that. But as of recently, God has blessed me with a new position. And so Jalen got in this year. And Stefan, we're really concerned because there's very few spaces available in the school. There's a huge wait list to get in. And so we were concerned that Stefan wasn't going to make it in this next year. And so, let me take a step back here. Ever since we've adopted our kids, God has always shown Rebecca these rainbows. In all these difficult milestones throughout our adoption and through everything that we've been through with our family. And the first rainbow, I thought to myself, well, maybe coincidence or whatever, but no, you know, every breath comes from God. I need to remind myself of that. And so the first rainbow and there was like two other ones after that. And then on our way to the meeting to see whether Stefan was accepted or not, God chose to show me a rainbow on my way I was racing from work, just barely making it there on time. I was like a couple minutes late. And God showed me a rainbow, and I had tears in my eyes because, I mean, he's always shown Rebecca the rainbows, but this he showed me one this time. And that, I just thought that, you know, it's not coincidence. God holds our lives in his hands, and it's evident. And he showed me that rainbow on the way, and then during the meeting, we had the meeting, and a couple days later, we got a phone call, and Stefan was accepted into the school, and, you know, it's just unbelievable. It's such a wait list. I don't know if anybody here can understand, but it's almost impossible to get your kids in Abbey Christian. So praise God. We're so blessed. And yeah.
So maybe Stefan and Jalen can attest to how, no, they're like, we're done talking. But we had so many people praying for us, and it's been a huge journey. And that was, I bawled when I found out. And the person that's been talking back and forth for us from the school and following us through this all, and she just said, yes, it's been a journey. And we just want to glorify God, and by his hand and his marvelous works, declare that he's a God that sees our desires. And honestly, we wrapped up a gift under the tree just that said, well, to Sean and Rebecca, and just said, your kids are in ACS, love Jesus. Yeah, we put a verse on the back just to remind ourselves, because aside from Jesus, this seems like the greatest gift this year to us, and we're just so thankful. So thank you for all your prayers.
Awesome. Thank you so much, guys. Yeah, every family and every child and every parent is different. They have different needs, but it's so cool how God knows each and every one of our needs and challenges in life, and how he helps and supports us through those details. And so thanks for sharing, Sean and Rebecca. I'm going to have Charlene Sutcliffe share now, and she's going to share just about how God has been with her in the midst of loss this past year. And so I'm going to pass the mic over to her, and maybe Nathan might come with her. They're talking about it.
Thank you, Leah. Pretty close. Okay. Lamentations 3, verse 31 to 33. Says, for no one is cast off by the Lord forever. Though he brings grief, he will show compassion. So great is his unfailing love, for he does not willingly bring affliction or grief to anyone. On Thursday night, as we were practicing songs for today, I was just overwhelmed with the words and how true they have been this year for me. And I knew I had to share something. So I'm going to try and be very, very short. As there were some events this year that God specifically ordained and moved his hands and pretty much forced to happen. So some of you are aware that this summer, Jesus took my dad and my grandpa home to be with him. While this was a very sudden and unexpected for my daddy, I cannot help but thank God for his perfect timing and gracious memories he left me with here on earth. My dad was a trucker for you kids. He drove big trucks, and he could move anything. I promise, that's not a lie. My dad hasn't had or seen a doctor for quite a few years. But between January and the end of July, he saw 3 different ones. All good. There's some stitches involved, but he was declared well. And incidents that made some of this summer's events easier and caused provision. My siblings and I, there's 4 of us, and we all have families. We're planning a summer get-together, or thought we were planning it. We picked the 1st of August, the first weekend in August, to meet in Chilliwack at my parents' for a camp out. And since we're all there, let's throw in a family photo, because it's been 5 years. And God moved the date to the last weekend in July. with pictures booked for Sunday. My one sister came out early on a Tuesday evening, and so Nathan and our children went out to see her and visit. And parents, you understand, God created a moment where I went out back to meet my dad as he came home, and we had a chance to talk. He had had a very bad day. And after he had did dinner, then that evening, Nathan and I laid hands on my parents and prayed with my sister and her husband over my parents that God would provide direction for the decisions they needed to make and help for the coming days. My dad was still very quiet after we prayed, quite down. But I felt this nudge in my gut, or a whisper, if you could call it that, that said, go sit on your dad's lap. So I leaned my head over his heart. We talked. And I had my last cuddle a week before he died. There was something every day that week. I was supposed to play on Sunday, but I had written, Steve, it will be the first time we are all together for quite a while, and there are some hard things going on for some, if you have time to pray. So the photographer got sick, and we found out that she couldn't come, but God had another one ready to go. We imported her from the island with my other island sister, and Sunday, photos happened. And my dad was at complete peace in those pictures with his whole family, something that takes weeks and sometimes months to plan to all be together. So Sunday afternoon, Dad left earlier than I expected. He was very excited about one of his favorite trips up through Dawson Creek, down through Edmonton to home. He hardly gets out of the valley, never mind the canyon. And that afternoon, as he was leaving, something in my gut said that it was important to say goodbye, which I always knew was important because he did dangerous work. But this time there was something different. So I said goodbye to my dad. Nothing any different, but inside something. And Jocelyn was there, and I told her, Pabu's leaving, go say goodbye. So she waves, bye, Pabu. I'm like, no, Pabu's leaving, go give Pabu a hug. So she got scooped up into his beard, giggles and all. And he left, hollering and waving goodbye to the other kids who were playing hard, and then he was gone. So Tuesday morning, kids and I were in the balcony of Brenda Jansen's service, which was so beautiful to be with our church family and to hear God's promises very fresh. At the end of the service, I got a message to go straight home immediately, as Nathan was on his way home from work early. Once home, I found out that my dad had passed away in an accident. Within an hour of the RCMP arriving to bring the news to my mom, our whole family was together. God is amazing. Nothing surprises him, and he prepared and allowed us this comfort. He also gave us the comfort that the accident was completely in his control. It was an accident. God doesn't cause these things to happen, but he allowed it to happen. It was a single vehicle. No one else involved was left hurt in a hospital. My dad was actually asleep when it happened, not at the wheel, but in the sleeper. He went straight from peacefully sleeping, completely trusting this driver who was very trustworthy, the accident was out of his hands, into the presence of Jesus and knew no pain, which was a gift, if you know anything about the rest of my dad's life. A few hours before the accident, there had been a freak heavy rainstorm through Alberta in the middle of a hot, dry summer, which caused thick mud, sitting water where it usually isn't, and south of a lake, very intense fog. And the truck hit the fog. Driver could not see, he was disoriented and went off the road. The load came loose and hit the cab. The police attending the accident said they had great difficulty getting there and finding the truck because of the blinding fog. I'm so thankful it was an accident, truly in its utmost perfect form. Nobody was at fault. 2 days later in Chilliwack, I was again praising God. As I was grieving that I had booked two shifts of sitters for that day, word had come that my mom's dad was failing, Her sister was my babysitter, and her sister had to get my grandma to grandpa ASAP. So Nathan shooed her out the door, and I shooed my mom and my aunt out the door, and God took grandpa from grandma's presence into his perfect timing. We made it through the memorial service. My dad had lived out a life of sacrifice, trying to serve God and others in so many ways. And the day we celebrated his life, God radiated his glory before many lives that my dad touched. While working through this loss, God has continued to provide ground under my feet, strength to keep walking and to speak here, comfort for sadness, time to be still, and sometimes sick at the same time, a new hope for heaven, and a season to watch the Holy Spirit at work, harvesting and planting seeds because of the promise we have in Christ our Savior. My daddy is gone, but my faithful Heavenly Father is still right with me and promised to never leave, and he can keep his promises.
Thanks, Shirley. Well, thanks, Charlene, and thank you for everyone for sharing. I'm looking at the clock right now. I think we'll leave it at that, but I'll just make a couple of brief comments that I was planning on just throwing out there, just as a quick reflection. Actually, I think I maybe shared this before in some other service. It could have been even a testimony service last year. I don't know. It doesn't matter. But anyways, we all go through different joys, and we all go through different challenges, and the body of Christ is meant to be there for each other to help each other out. I've had the privilege of, well, maybe I'll just say share this first. I think at some other point I shared this whole concept of having prayer partners. And this past year, I have encouraged others to pray for me, and if you have done that, I have sensed your prayers, I felt your prayers, and I thank you so much for doing that. It means so much to me. And there's been others. There's one person in particular who asked me to pray for them with an addiction they've struggled with in the past. I've been a bit of an accountability support / prayer partner. And man, it has been so encouraging for me to be working with this man and see how the Lord has given him victory over some of his addictions. It's been so good. And the reason why I want to share that is because we all have struggles, we all have addictions, and of various kinds, the things that we struggle with. And I'd really encourage you, if you got something going on in your life, it doesn't matter who you are, you need people in your life, whether it's someone in your small group or someone you trust in some other way. Man, surround yourself with people who you look up to, who you trust, who you respect, who you can share with. And share your heart with someone in the church. Maybe partner up with someone and have them pray for you with whatever you need prayer for, and ask that, and vice versa. And you be praying for them with whatever struggle they're going through. Man, that for me this past year has been such a blessing. As I've been praying and supporting this man, he's also been praying and supporting me. This guy's also asked some others to, not just myself, but he's asked some others to pray and support him, and he's been lifted up and supported from every angle, it seems. And it's awesome to see how he's got victory in his life over his addictions. And so my hope would be the same for each and every one of us here, that we lean on each other for help and support in times of need. Let me pray and invite the worship team to come back. Lord, thank you so much for today, and Lord, we've heard all sorts of testimonies and stories, how you've been with us in the midst of loss, as we heard from Charlene, how we hear what you've been doing in the children's ministry with Sherry and the children there, and we appreciate that. Lord, we've heard how you've been with us, and you are with us in the midst of trials and health issues, how you're with us teaching us things as we go serving you in overseas or in some other countries or even here in Abbotsford. And we thank you, Lord, how you are with us in every season of life and every day, no matter how mundane or exciting it may be. And Lord, we pray that we will be encouraged by the testimonies that we hear. Help us to be more mindful of how you're at work in our own lives. And may the testimonies that were shared be ones that just encourage us and challenge us to draw closer to you and to be more mindful of and sensitive to what our brothers and sisters in Christ are going through in our congregation and perhaps in other places in the world as well. And we just pray all these things in your name, Jesus. Amen.